Hello, hello. I started to do the RuPaul. Hello, hello, hello.
It's okay. No, I'll cut that out.
Hello and welcome to Bravo, Bravo, effing Bravo. Hi, Mariana.
Hey, Nathan. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, I'm in a mood today, let me tell you. I'm in a lady mood.
What's brought that on? Oh, lady mood.
I'm in a lady mood.
I just got that.
Just pick it up. So, yeah. And then, I'm not going to lie, I literally just watched Potomac episode 11. Mm-hmm. Look, this season has been just amazing. It's been a respite to the year. Mm-hmm. And now I'm pissed. They pissed me off today because the standard's been high and this was just fluff.
We had been going up, up, up like on the roller coaster and like finally we dropped because it was just, we needed a break, I think, after the build up.
Look. You know when they start the episodes with at this person's house for 2 seconds, at that person's house, you know it's not going to go well. And look, there were a couple of moments, but I'm used to filler episodes and this one just annoyed me. And I don't know if it's because I'm in a lady mood or to be honest, it was a lot of Robin and Giselle and I wasn't here for it. What's happened? Like Giselle is really just ticking me off this season.
I think she's being really hypocritical.
Yes. I think she's also being a bit two-faced in this episode. I'm seeing her being all lovely to Karen's face and bitchy in her confessionals. And I'm like, okay, I'm here for bitchy. I'm here for funny. But kind of mean. I don't know. Anyway, should we just get into it and I'll explain what I mean?
Why not?
All right, so episode 11, Taxing Times and Blurry Lines. I did think that was funny. Yeah, it was cute. So we start off and we're at Karen's house. Mm-hmm. Karen calls Ashley. She's in the backyard on her phone with the terrible reception.
Yeah.
And she asks her to go with her to her hometown of Surrey County. She was asked to participate in her old high school's homecoming parade. And apparently Giselle's already going. So Ashley's like, yeah, that sounds lovely. That's cool for you. And then Giselle's in her confessional, and this is what I mean. She says she envisions a farmhouse with people walking around with straw hanging out of the sides of their mouths with cowboy hats and overalls everywhere. Now, I know she means to be funny.
Yeah.
But Karen's going to hear that.
It was really judgmental.
That's, yes.
Especially when you contrast it to how proud Karen is of the farm.
And I love that she is.
Oh, me too.
And I think everyone, including Giselle, loves that Karen's proud. And I just was like, the only good thing about that was that Karen reciprocated in her confessional and called her Jizzy again.
Jizzy.
So now I'm just going to call her Jizzy.
I mean, Karen's also been bitchy to Giselle in her confessionals, like about Giselle's fashion sense.
Yes, but that's what I mean. Karen's being bitchy about something that doesn't matter.
Okay.
She's throwing shade. She's having fun. She's not putting down her people.
Okay.
Like she's not turning around and going, okay, so Giselle's back with Jamal. She's a fucking idiot because that's the father of her kids.
Even as true as it would be.
Absolutely.
She's not saying it.
She's basically calling Karen's family hillbillies. Now, Karen's family comes from fucking Virginia. They're not from like the Mississippi Delta. Calm down.
I know. And like
they're 2.5 hours away.
But their story's amazing. Like
exactly.
They were slaves on that land and then
they bought the land
and now they're thriving
and
on the land.
And absolutely Karen's proud.
As you would be. And when she said, like, they feed America, I was like,
I love that. And you know what? Karen's got millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Giselle has millions of copper coin. Like, can Giselle just take a seat?
She's made millions of bad fashion choices.
Oh, bad fashion choices, bad men choices.
Bad interior design choices.
I like to laugh along with the shade, but when it gets like that, it's like, don't make fun of people's family.
I thought it was like, a bit funny though.
Okay, well, you can think it's a bit funny, but I ain't making fun of your family. I don't know. I think I'm just in a mood. Okay, so that's all that happened there. And then we're at Robin's and look, again with the short clips, like nothing happened. We literally got a clip of Robin wiping down her laptop. Is this a scene?
Who does that?
Is this a, honestly, this is national TV and that's what we're watching. I pay to watch these shows. I'm paying to see Robin wipe down her lappy.
I know. And then like Wendy was at that thing for like 3 seconds. Even they were like, this is too boring to show in full. We'll shove it in the montage.
So just before that, we get Giselle. She leaves a message for Juan saying that she approves of the ring. And look, I paused and rewound because I wanted to know what it said on the note on Giselle's notepad. And it said 5 carats, 7 total. So I looked up the ring.
Oh, great.
It's 5 carat emerald cut. So that's a square, FYI, if you don't know. And it looks huge. And I looked at it and went, it looks a little cheap and tacky. How is that possible for a ring that big? So wait.
I'm sorry. Giselle's approving it. Cheap and tacky. I know. Hello.
It's a morganite stone. And it's set in 18-carat white gold. So I don't know if you know anything about morganite diamonds. No. They're very popular at the moment. Okay. And the reason they're popular is because they call it a morganite diamond. It's not a diamond. It is a stone. It's blush pink, which is all the rage. The other cool thing about it is that morganite stone, we call them morganite diamonds, they're a fraction of the cost of a real diamond.
Oh, there it is.
So, okay. So I broke down the math. Because, you know, I was in a bitchy mood. So she said it's 5 carats. Now, a morganite stone is, and these are US dollars because I wanted to work it to their thing. One diamond is about $2,000 US.
Okay.
A morganite stone is about $300 US.
Oh.
And then she did say it had double halo of 1.2 carat of diamonds. Of real diamonds.
Okay.
So the 7 total, I think. Oh, yeah, sorry. And it's set in, set in 18 carat white gold.
Yeah.
So basically, that 7 total, that's the price, it's my best guess.
7K, as in?
Yeah, as in 7,000. The ring was 7,000. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So
I don't know what this trend is. Does this mean it's a good ring or it's a shit ring?
Look, morganite's very popular at the moment. I don't think anyone would call it a shit ring because a lot of people are saying, because morganite's technically more rare than diamonds are, but it's obviously a hell of a lot cheaper. A lot of people are saying, why spend $30,000 on a ring when I can get this pretty pink ring? I think even 7,000 is a stretch for the price. So maybe she's referring to the carrots.
So but isn't it like 3 months of your salary or something? But he doesn't work, so.
Look, she's – well, no, he's a high school basketball teacher shit.
Okay.
Look, my thing is it's basically so that you can get a ring that looks like it's worth – like it looks like a ring that Lisa Vanderpump would own in real diamonds.
But it ain't.
But it's not. It's a stone and they call it morganite diamond. It ain't a diamond.
Okay.
It's a stone.
Okay.
You know, emerald's a stone. So my thing is it's like you're trying to look like you're worth a shit ton of money, but, you know, cubic zirconia is a stone.
But we know exactly what Robin earned and when.
Yeah,
now,
well, so. Yeah. Look, I mean, I'm not saying it's tacky. I'm just saying you want something bigger and blingier and you want to spend less money on it.
I'm more thinking like.
To me sounds a little tacky.
It's her second marriage to the same man. Like,
I know.
Does she even need a ring?
Apparently she did say the first time round I got a diamond and it didn't work so well. I'm assuming they had to hand it over when they went bankrupt.
Yeah.
Because they went bankrupt and there was a foreclosure, etc. So they took their house.
Took all their shit.
Yeah. So anywho, that's my little gossip. Look, I thought it was tacky. Why have something that makes you look like a baller when you're not?
She's a baller, but she doesn't get played.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Like I said, I think people are making up the excuse that they want a pink ring when in reality they just want to look blingier than they are.
Yeah.
I thought the ring was tacky personally, but that's, you know, who cares what I think?
Well, it's picked out by Giselle, so.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, no, he designed it.
But she approved. Oh, wait, no, Juan designed it.
He apparently designed it.
I'm not buying that.
I know,
that's
it's a fucking
crazy.
Square ring. What do you mean you designed it? Anyway. Moving on, Wendy's speaking at a women's panel.
Boring. Next.
Voice to the voiceless, blah, blah. That's what I wrote. And then we're at Karen's with Ray. She tells him, well, they're talking about her, the homecoming parade that she's been invited to participate in. And my thought was, why isn't Ray going?
Well,
you're going home to visit your family. Why? Yeah. Like, are we that starved for content that production's like, you're doing it on the show? No.
Well, Ray doesn't
want to go.
Ray was doing a lot of, oh, okay. Like the girls would say something and be like, oh, okay.
That's his way of going, it's silent now. I need to say something because I'm not paying attention. So Ashley arrives in really cute hopping heels and a bad grey cotton jumpsuit. Oh, she looked terrible in that.
No. But she's leaving the baby.
I know, because she's only 2.5 hours away and she's okay with that.
Well, because she wants Michael to have to look after the baby and not be out sowing his oats.
He's not looking after the baby. We heard last time that there's a lady down the hallway that babysits.
Yeah, but that's totally... She totally left the baby so the baby could keep an eye on Michael.
Well, yes. And she does reference in her confessional about the last time she left Michael on his own, but she thinks that he's learned his lesson.
She's an idiot.
Yeah. But she jokes that she put a tracker in his booty and he doesn't know it was there. She jokes in her confessionals and said it slid right in. And I'm like, is she joking about the fact that he likes anal? I mean, she's inferring that he wouldn't feel it, that it slid right in. I'm like, are you making fun of him? Because I love that if you are.
I was more thinking like he's just gonna shit it out.
Well, no, I thought she was making fun of him like everyone else is about his proclivities. And I was like, yes, girl.
Good for her.
I loved that. Let's just say that's what it is because that made me really happy. Okay, so Jizzy arrives. Karen looks her outfit up and down and says that it's good that you're wearing flats, like as if that was the only positive note she had on Giselle's outfit.
Wearing like an oversized parka.
Like with faux fur. Oh, it's like it looked like a little parka that you put on a little toddler.
Yeah, or like a bear.
Yes.
Like a toy bear parka.
Oh, my God. Oh, that's funny. That just made me laugh. She's like Paddington Bear outfit.
Yeah, that's what she is.
And as they're out the door, we hear Ray saying, I'm not trying to rush you out or anything, honey. Let's go. As he carries her suitcase out the door. And Karen's like, did we just get kicked out? And Jizzy says she thinks so. And then in her confessionals, Jizzy says, oh, Ray couldn't push her out fast enough. And she also says Karen's going to see her family and Ray wasn't invited and that's a little weird. I don't think he wasn't invited. I think he said he didn't want to go.
Yep. 100%.
And then he goes to close the door on her and she says, oh, on the car door, and she says, I love you, and he replies with a wave. Like, you're right there, dude. You don't need to wave.
She's going in for the kiss and he just like, whoop, shuts the door.
No, and then production for the Emmy because they decide to show Ray slamming that car door not once, not twice, but thrice.
Hilarious.
I know, so funny.
I mean, it's pretty mean after what we've just seen
when
them go through with their counseling.
When she watches this back, she's going to be really upset with him.
Oh, yeah.
But then I noticed that behind Ray as he was waving to her and basically telling her to fuck off, there was some dude holding a little plastic takeaway bag and two takeaway coffees. I want to know who the guy is with the Starbucks. Was that his son or was that his, date? Like, because he's always commenting about Michael being gay. I'm like, dude, who the fuck's at the door? But then I thought, it's probably just his son and I'm just being a bitch.
I was more thinking, why is he always wearing suit pants and, a collared shirt?
I know, and a vest.
Like, just wear some sweatpants.
But men of that age are always in the suit pants. Like, you see them in town, those old men in the suit pants.
Yeah, you do see that.
And they're they'll be wearing UGG boots and a pajama top, but they got their suit pants on. Always. And they always look like the last time they were washed was in 1942. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Anywho, so they're in the car. They're on their way. After the door got slammed in her face by her husband of a million years. And Jizzy asks if they're going to the Taco Bell that Karen worked at. That was funny.
Yeah.
That was funny. And Karen, and we get that flashy of Karen saying that her first job was a cashier at Burger King in the Taco Bell.
And
they laughed. That was cool. Even Karen laughed.
I just don't know the timeline of it because how old is Karen again? Like, she's younger than you think.
Okay, hold on. Let me goggle her. Karen Huger age. 57.
So she's 57.
She was born. Oh, my gosh. We have the same birthday, Karen Hugo. Yes.
Oh, wow.
But she was born in 63 and I was born in 79. It doesn't sound that far apart in age, does it? It is not that far apart in age. There and we go.
So Taco Bell first opened in 1962.
And Karen started working there in 1963.
So
Karen was born in 1963.
Oh, okay. So okay. That lines up. But in my head, I'm just like, as if this old bitch worked at a Taco Bell, but she's younger than you think.
She's only 57.
And what was the other one? Burger King.
Which sounds like, are they owned by the same place? Because she's, you know.
Oh, that was 1954 Burger King opens. There you go. All right. Okay.
So, yeah. There you go.
Good for her.
Good for her. You know, I find it even weird nowadays when I see older people in like the McDonald's, because like growing up,
yeah,
there was no way like my older relatives would ever eat those places because Wogs didn't eat takeout. But now we're of the age where your nana's eating at the Macca's, man.
Mac Cafe revolutionised old people eating.
Yeah, they're eating cheeses on the sly. They're eating cheeses when their grandkids aren't looking. And then we're at Candace's with Robin.
Mm.
Now, look, my first comment was that Candace needs some help with the antipasto.
What the fuck was that?
Tea cookies and grapes with wads of Gouda and strawberries under a dome dish.
Why did the strawberries need to be under a dome dish?
Did she have flies in the house?
Oh, maybe. But, like, strawberries can survive in air. They don't need to be blocked off.
Okay, my issue wasn't even with the stupid fucking dome dish that you're actually supposed to put a candle under. But anyway, that spread... You'd be lucky if that thing cost her $10 max.
It looked like one of those ones you get from Coles that like has everything all in.
What do you mean has every? It had
has like crackers and cheese in one.
It had a fucking tea cookie. I had to Google what a tea cookie is.
What is it?
It's just oh fuck, now I can't even think. It's just a regular. First of all, it's like a regular fucking cookie. It's like a shortbread.
Oh, God.
It's a fucking shortbread. Now, how is shortbread going with yellow globs of cheese? Like, if I have guests over, I ain't serving chunks of Gouda. Like, you know, sweetheart, you're not 15.
Cheese and crackers is a different thing in America because I went to Sardi's in Broadway.
Uh-huh.
And I ordered the cheese and crackers just with, like, a drink. And what came out was... like little individually wrapped packets of like Ritz or Jats crackers.
Are you serious?
And like a dish of spreadable cheese.
Like cream cheese.
But thicker.
Ew. Oh, like it looked like someone had got some yellow cheese and melted her.
Or like yellow cheese out of like a can sprayed into like a little dish.
And so it was like a fondue with like airplane crackers.
Yes.
Ritz and crackers?
Really? In those individually wrapped.
They and actually I was like, charged for that?
Yeah, and I was like, where the fuck's the brie?
Like,
where's the lavash?
Where's the baked camembert?
Exactly. I think maybe it's different there. But she's
They don't know how to do a freaking cheese plate.
They're not cheese platers. And although the ones at the barn looked nice.
Yeah, well, that's true. But, when they were on the floor.
But Candace was so proud of it because, like, she even did a tweet being like, thanks for complimenting my platter tonight.
I looked and I was at like, it and I'm like, bitch, that thing didn't even cost you the $10. Your manicure cost more than that. She spent more time getting that mani than that. That platter, I was just like, that's embarrassing.
And the strawberries looked nice, but what are you expecting your guests to lift up the dish each time they want to have a straw?
What, you want a fucking high five and like a freaking cheer squad for your freaking strawberries that you sliced? Seriously, strawberries, grapes, yellow cheese and freaking shortbread biscuits. Like, that's a cheese platter you put together when you're five and you're playing with your dolls.
Okay.
Grapes? Really?
Yeah, no. I think sliced strawberries are fancy. You cut a strawberry, that's fancy. But
really? That's fancy? Okay, fine.
You know that thing where people like cut a strawberry into like six parts but then like twist it?
Yeah.
I think that's fancy.
She didn't do that,
though. She didn't even do that.
She seriously quartered some strawberries, chucked a bunch of grapes. Like it looked like she – I was going to say it looked like she at least washed the grapes, but she probably brought washed grapes in a bag. I was embarrassed for her on that platter. Seriously, we had a meeting here last Saturday. You should have seen what I did. It was gorge.
A grazing board?
Absolutely, I did a grazing board.
And Robin rocked up and she was like, wow, look at this. And I was like, what?
I literally would have looked at it and went, that's all I get. I'm clearly not like the guest you want to impress. And those fucked up massive candlesticks she has on them as her decor.
Mm.
Ugh.
All right.
Back to Haydener.
Me too.
And then, oh, okay. And then Robin just starts in with, you know, we had a meeting and my notes were, Robin, fuck off. I'm back off you.
My notes were, what's the fuck up with that hat?
Oh, that whole outfit. Like, Robin has caught jizzyitis.
She really has.
The jizz has fallen on Robin and it's her outfits are terrible.
Just got jizz all over her.
She got jizz all over it. It was not fun times. And then Robin tells Candace that Monique said she had no remorse and that she's making excuses. That is not exactly what she said. She said, in the state I am in now, look, I am passing, I get it. But then Candace starts to fake cry and and Robin takes the bait and, oh, don't cry. It's like, look, this is when I got in the foul mood, because the way that the two of them were talking, I'm like, you've had this conversation before. This is all pre-planned and set up, and I'm not here for it. Uh-huh. So Robin says she's disappointed in Karen for not publicly expressing disappointment in Monique, and then production shows Karen doing just that, saying that Monique fucked up, which I thought was hilarious. But
it's exactly right. Robin's just not
– Robin is just egging Candace on. Mm-hmm. And then Candace tells Robin that when she asked Karen what she would do in her situation, apparently Karen said that she would press charges. Again, this whole thing is fake. And Robin asks if Candace is going to do that. And Candace is like holding a smile and ever so slightly nods her head in agreement. And Robin looks shocked. Again, convo planned. Robin, you're faking your shocked look. You knew exactly what Candace was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's bullshit that the conversation is just Candace and Robin. How about everyone be there when she drops this bomb so that Karen can defend herself, etc. So that's my take.
Yeah, I was like, let's get to the taxes thing. I was more interested in the taxes stuff with Robin. Too. So I was like, let's get this shit out of the way.
And once again, I'm annoyed that the conversation about the taxes is only between Candace and Robin. Like, who are we protecting?
Karen needs to be in that conversation Robin was dragging Karen.
Absolutely. And Candace says it's on the table and that she has trauma and she feels violated. Look, I would believe anyone else in that sentiment. It's just the way that Candace says it. I'm like, you're playing up for the cameras.
She's fake.
She's totes fake. And Robin's like, oh, you didn't see it coming. And Candace is like, not at all. I'm like, how did she not see this coming? She's been whacked in the head by her mother before. She knows it's coming. The thing is, I think Monique is absolutely at fault. It's just the way that Candace is handling it and she's sucking it all up like she did nothing wrong. It just makes me forget that Monique has done something wrong, even though I know she has.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Anyway. Yeah. And then we get the fake tears, blah, blah. And then we move straight on to Candace asking Robin about her tax debt, which I kind of thought was, but it was, the way that she did it was rude and Robin didn't even clock her for it. Again, all fake.
Well, yeah, I think it was like they knew what they were talking about.
That's what they were there to talk about. Oh, sorry.
And didn't Candace do that thing where she's like, the blogs are saying it's $90,000.
I know. What is it with the side of your mouth? Like, so stupid. Exactly. We get the online blog headlines with the grabs saying that Robin owes the IRS $90,000. And her excuse, which is bullshit, I did my own taxes and I didn't do them correctly and then I forgot about one source of income.
Do we think Robin's dumb?
Yes.
And do you think that maybe she's just too dumb to do her own taxes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. I absolutely do. That's what happened. If you have businesses and multiple sources of income, like you've obviously got a manager, you've got or maybe she doesn't. Maybe she reps herself because she's clearly dressing herself.
She's being her own accountant.
Is she really being her own accountant?
I don't know. Well,
like surely Robin and Juan have their own accountants. Like after you go bankrupt, I understand you need to save some coin, but she's getting those false eyelashes every 2 weeks. So she's clearly spending her money on something.
Not taxes.
Like maybe get an accountant and just put your own fucking false eyelashes on. It's not that hard. Anyway, and then, we get that flashback of Robin scolding Karen about not knowing that Ray owed the IRS money, and Robin's basically saying she didn't believe Karen.
Yeah, she's like, how do you not know?
How do you not know? Well, you didn't know about your own fucking taxes, apparently. Again, why are we having this conversation with Candace? Why aren't we having this conversation with Karen? Why isn't Ashley there? Like,
yeah, I think maybe because they were segregating the group.
Yeah. Well, especially if she's pressing charges, production knows before anyone else knows. They have to be told.
Oh, yeah, they're setting up
that
storyline. So
they're basically
for sure.
saying, well, Jizzy's away. Who else wants to sit with fucking Candace? No one. So poor Robin has to do it.
Yeah. Well, she's got to do something. Like.
Yeah, well, it's true. And then Candace, that's okay. Candace is going to help. She's going to save the day for Robin. She's going to be there for her. She's going to help sort this shit out. She says she's going to pray for her. So that's what Candace is going to do to help with these issues. So, look, I could have done with this scene in another way. I could have done without Candace, as you know. Karen could have got hers back. I'm not impressed. I'm kind of cranky at production about that. I agree with what you're saying. There's no one else to do scenes with Candace anymore. So what are you going to do? Even Chris is out now. No, Chris doesn't want to do scenes with her anymore, obviously, because he wasn't anywhere to be seen.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he's probably at work.
He was in last episode.
He was. We're back in Surrey at Wooden Farms, apparently. That's Karen. I didn't know that was Karen's name, Wooden.
It's nice.
It's not, but that's fine. Yeah, I don't like my surname either, so that's fine. And that's when we find out that her family bought the farm and they were previously slaves on that land. I mean, how the I don't know if I could do that. I mean, am I even one to comment? Is that even rude for me to comment? Probably. I got shivers.
Oh, yeah.
I was silenced, unbelievably so. And they arrive at her aunt's house and they meet Karen's family, and I notice Karen walks in with a midriff.
Karen with the top ab.
Yeah, with the top abs hanging out. I did like that. And then Jizzy wants to sit with Aunt Valerie and Aunt Carleen because she wants the tea.
Aunt Valerie looks pretty young.
Yeah, they were.
Like, well, younger than Karen.
Well, no, she's her father's sister, so she's not younger than Karen.
She looks younger than Karen.
She did look pretty amazing, actually, come to think of it.
But again, I think Karen looks like an old lady.
You know what? I don't know that she has done this, but I find that any woman that does the fillers looks old. I don't even think Botox help. Botox, to me, gets rid of the wrinkles. It doesn't make people look younger. And look, I could be wrong. There could be people walking around with Botox and I don't know it, but the fillers and the Botox, I don't think it makes you look younger. I just think it makes you look wrinkle-free. I don't think it actually does the job.
Yeah.
So, so maybe that's why she looks older. I don't know. But, yeah, you're right. I think she does look older. And then it gets – oh, we see some – they pop out the old pictures of Karen.
Yes.
Yeah, cute.
I loved that story about her being in love with Michael Jackson.
I know, that was funny.
What a yikes moment that is.
I know. I'm like, really? That's the one you got the hots for? Okay, that's fine.
You boo-boo.
We women do love a man that can dance, so I get that maybe. And then it gets all serious because she says that the last time that she was there was that at her dad's funeral.
Yeah.
That was sad. And then they go and do a tour of the farm, and Karen tells them that they're going to try and harvest some corn with her cousin Tommy.
Right.
Which they just sat on the combine harvester. They didn't do anything.
I know. I would have loved to have seen like Ashley and Giselle shucking corn.
I know. Jizzy's cheering them on. And I'm like, bitch, they didn't do anything. They just sat in a truck and wore a fucking the harvester and didn't do shit. But anyway.
It was just nice to be out of Potomac for a little bit.
It was.
You know?
It was. I do like the farm. I wish we got more of the actual farm. I wanted to see them like clearing hay for the pigs and shit. That's what but apparently they don't. I don't know if they got farm animals because
I know I would have loved to have seen Karen milk a cow.
I know, right? That would have been choice. But maybe it's not that kind of farm.
Yeah.
Then Monique calls Ashley and Ashley puts her on speaker. Monique does say she's been on edge since the fight, but that the sad thing is that if it wasn't for her, i.e. if it wasn't for her whacking Candace, it would have been someone else. And I agree. I said that last episode.
It could have been Ashley, you reckon?
No, as in anybody else, is that Candace speaks to everybody like this, and she was going to get her, she was going to get popped in the face at some point.
Yeah, but I don't think Karen was going to pop her in the face.
I don't mean one of the other ladies. It could have been anyone.
I thought that's what she meant. Like, yeah, it would have been someone else. Someone, but, and I think it wouldn't have been.
I don't think it would. I don't think she means it would have been one of the ladies. I think that she means that her smart mouth would have got her in trouble at some point, and I don't disagree.
Yeah.
I mean, even Robin last episode said that she runs her smart mouth off.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Maybe I just hung out on a different schoolyard. Kids that spoke like that got their face punched in, and I'm surprised that she's gone through her life without getting smacked in the face till now. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, I've got to stop saying that. Giselle walks away because she doesn't want to hear Monique on the phone, but then she walks back. And Karen did confirm that she said she told Candace that if it was her, she would have pressed charges, because Giselle says that – and that's when I went back to the other conversation with Robin and Candace, when Giselle says that Candace should have pressed charges that night. And I'm like, the three of you have gotten together and had massive chats about this, and that's definitely got the ball rolling for the pressing of the charges.
Oh, 100%.
But Ashley seemed surprised by this, that Karen said that she would have pressed charges. And look, I did go back in my head to the physical altercation, and I'm like, of course that's come up in conversation. It was very aggressive.
She's whacking her on the head.
I'm kind of surprised that she wasn't bruised. She was whacking her on the head. And then I'm wondering if it looked worse than it actually was.
No, I think it was.
Then why didn't she have any bruises?
Was on the back of
her
head.
She looked fine. I don't know. Anyway, like, you get beat up, you've got one bruise, you've got a scrape. She had not one scrape, not one bruise, nothing. So I'm wondering if I'm thinking it's worse than it was because of all the screaming.
Well, and it's just being hit, like, that doesn't just affect you just physically, you got a bruise. Like, she's... When Candace says she's recovering from the trauma, like, half of me is like, fuck off. But half of me is also like, yeah, that is pretty traumatic.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. I'm just...
Picture if Monique did it to Karen.
Yeah, okay, fine.
And then if Karen says she's going to press charges, you'd be like, absolutely.
Yeah, you're right. It's just that I don't like Candace.
Yeah.
Soz, not soz, Candace. Karen says that she... But then what surprised me is Karen's like, I'm done. And I'm
yeah,
like,
I was surprised by that.
What
too.
Happened with her? I'll walk you through this, Monique. I don't get why she's saying
what happened
she's
between
done.
Now and then.
I don't know. Something's, and she says, "I don't want to be a part of this anymore." And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, what I think she means is she just wants the conflict to be over,
right?
Back to normal, kind
right,
of thing.
Okay,
she's done with the different groups. Can't be in the same room.
Yeah.
That type of bullshit.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
But last episode, she was like, "Yeah, I'll walk with you."
Yeah.
Blah blah blah.
I was a bit. What's going to happen if Monique here? I don't know. But I think you might be right that she's just like, "Can we just get over it?" And I'm like, "Well, we all know I hate Candace, but I'm like, she ain't getting over this in 2 seconds. Like, and do you expect her to? Would you?
Oh, no, she's going to milk it till the end of the season.
Oh, please, and then some.
Yeah.
And then Giselle calls Monique a liar. And I'm like, okay, get over it with the liar. What's she lying about? She admits that she hit her. Mm. I don't get what she's lying about.
Giselle's being far too dramatic.
Yeah. She is. And that's the end of that scene. And then, look, Wendy, next scene, Wendy meets with her sister Ivy, and they talk about Wendy wanting to quit lecturing and how their mother won't approve, surgeon, PhD, blah, blah, blah.
They did order the same dish, but one with sausage, one without, which I thought was interesting.
Oh, you think one's a veggio?
Well, no, I think it was like a meat-based dish anyway.
Right.
But I just thought, like, when you're at dinner with someone, if someone orders the same thing as you, are you like, what the fuck? Or are you like, great, we're both eating the same thing separately? Wouldn't you be like, let's split a dish and then we can get a second dish?
I guess it depends. Like, if the menu, maybe the menu wasn't very exciting and they're like, oh, okay, I'll just have the same thing as you.
Yeah.
It could have been a crappy restaurant. Because they're not necessarily going to their favorite restaurants. They're going where production tells them to go, no?
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. Or maybe, I don't know.
If I ordered something and then the person was like, yeah, I'll have the same thing, I'd be like, hey, what? That's what I'm getting.
I wouldn't care.
I would care.
Does it bother you?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Maybe because you want to have, like, the joy of ogling another dish.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I thought, if you're going to both get the same thing, why wouldn't you just split it and then get something else?
I don't know. Maybe I didn't think of that. I don't know if I've thought of that.
Well, that's all I could think about in this scene because it was so boring.
It was a really fucking boring scene. And I'm like, look, this is why Wendy's on the show. She just wants to be on TV more.
And that's what it is. She's saying, I don't know if I want to be a professor. I'm like, you just want to be a housewife.
Well,
you
I don't even know if she wants to be a housewife. She likes doing the political commentating crap. And not crap, sorry. I'm clearly over Wendy. I just think being on this show, she wants people to go, hey, hire me to do shit.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that's going to work, sweetheart.
Well, and I'm even thinking, has she already given up being a professor?
Obviously.
And now she's just saying this.
This is her storyline.
Yeah.
This is why I'm – but it's like, okay, we get it. That's why you're on the show.
It's boring. It's BS.
I think she wants to be on a talk show.
She just wants to be famous.
I think she wants to be on The Fucking View. That's what I think she wants to do.
She might be all right on The View.
Really?
Or one of The View ripoffs, like The Talk or The Real.
Maybe.
Isn't Garcelle on one of them now?
Is she?
I think Garcelle just got cast on like The Real.
Okay. I don't watch that. I don't watch The View either, but.
No. Did you see the news about Wendy's in-laws?
They've started
going to the press now about
Wendy. Yes.
So I only saw something like when I was on my way here, and it's something about Wendy's in-laws, so Eddie's family.
Yeah.
Called her a heifer, a broke heifer.
No.
Pretty much. Yeah. So they're saying that she is a fame whore heifer and that they're broke because they've spent $1.5 million in loans to get their degrees.
Okay.
Which I was like, oh, yeah.
Well.
And that she's
renting her
house.
Well.
And that she sold her wedding photos and got them photoshopped for like $700 to some magazine.
Oh. For $700?
$750.
That she sold them for $750.
Something like that. Well, this is, before she was famous, I guess.
I guess, yeah.
And they said that she photoshopped them as well.
Everyone photoshops their photos.
I'm interested to see where that goes.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I was like hoping for some juicy gossip because, again, I'm not the biggest fan of Wendy, but I don't know. I mean, so they rent their house, big deal. They're in debt because of their education. Well, that says more about the parents than it does about them. Like they had to pay for their own education. Like, fuck off.
And they said something about Eddie pretending to be a lawyer, but he's only ever had one case or something.
He's not a lawyer?
Well, he's a lawyer, but he's never done any law work.
So what does he do?
Well, I don't know. But this is just
his disgruntled
family.
Right.
So we'll see what happens.
We'll see, yeah.
Breaking story that
yes,
will be.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, I'm not surprised that they're defending themselves, but it doesn't sound like that. That doesn't sound like much ammo yet, but TBD. Okay, so let's just move on from Wendy, boring, blah, blah.
Great.
Look, going back to Wendy, sorry. I keep reading and hearing people saying how much they love Wendy. I'm like, what are you loving? You're just loving that there's someone else there because she's got no storyline other than Eddie's parents hate me.
Yeah. I mean, T'Challa attacked her. That was fun.
Yeah, but that's more about T'Challa like being the shining beacon for the season.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, that's all I got on that. Okay, next scene. Honestly, we're just chugging through.
We're chugging.
It's painful. The next scene, possibly the most painful of all the scenes. Juan and Robin are at dinner. Robin rocks up in a long dark wig and a fur coat with the tag still on it. Did you notice the tag still on it?
That.
I took a photo, but there's really no need to.
Oh, she's got to return it. She's got
a tag hanging under the armpit of this fur coat.
No producer was like,
fuck that. I wouldn't be taking that off. Nah. Like, you saw it in two bits of it. Like, I didn't have to rewind.
I need to look that up.
I took a photo. I'll show you later. And then she's pretending, I'm saying pretending, to role play with Juan. Gross. She looks terrible. So Dylan and Tatiana are supposed to be on a spicy date night.
Isn't it bizarre?
You're eating at the bar.
I know.
This is not a romantic date night.
And did you notice how when it was showing Juan at the start, the lower third said ex-husband?
Yes.
Which I love. It's not even like Robin's partner.
I know.
It's
her ex-husband. Like, if you're trying to be sexy and you're fine, I get it, whatever, but she didn't try. She got someone put that cheap ass wig on her, and she rocked up and went, "Here, I'm trying." Like, what do you expect, Robin?
I laughed at one point when he said something about the football, or they're watching the football, and she says, "Where I come from, they call it
Football. If you're going to role play, you need to commit. And that
she
is
was like,
half,
I'm
going to
say something funny, and then she couldn't think of anything funny.
Like, she's not even making an effort. I'm really disappointed.
Surprised she knew what Latvia was, though.
That's true. And then he brings up her tax debt.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, she brings it up, doesn't she? I thought she brought it up, and then he said it's on you. And then she's like, oh, and he threw it in my face. And it's like, and that's not hot. And I'm like, bitch, you're the one that brought it up. He would have happily gone along with his role play if you did it properly. It's your own fault. The whole scene was gross.
And I was like, the poor bartender who had to put up with her bullshit.
I felt sorry for Juan. Honestly.
He engaged when he said that he also had a fake name.
Yeah,
Dylan.
That's true. He was trying. She barely tried. I hate it when people like go, I made an effort. It's like you made a half-ass effort and then you put it all on the other person.
Yeah.
With your fucking tag hanging off your faux fur coat. No one's impressed. See, I told you I was in a fucking mood today.
That was a valid reaction.
Yeah. And then we're back on Wooden Farm, day two. So
in
they
town,
obviously
town.
Slept over at the aunt's house.
I would have loved to have seen them drinking or something.
I wanted to see them having dinner and just kicking around at the dinner table.
I would have preferred to watch that than the Robin scene.
Totally. I would have preferred not to have Candace at all in this episode.
Yeah, we needed a Candace break.
Okay, so it's time for the homecoming parade.
You know what? Why is Karen there at a homecoming parade?
No one
knows. It's a high school dance, right?
I know. It's the high school home. Well, homecoming isn't just the dance, right? It's the end of.
I thought it was just a dance.
No, it's homecoming. I could be wrong because I'm not the expert, but I thought homecoming was like the end of year stuff, all of it. I thought.
Yeah, but this is like October or something, isn't it?
Oh,
and their end of year is in June.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if it's an end of year thing. I think a homecoming is just like a dance for like seniors or juniors or whatever their fucking high school thing is.
I don't fucking know. They have too much fucking time.
But they had
off.
A parade.
They had a parade.
I did love to see Karen.
I know. She's sitting on a Cadillac with four people watching her. But Jizzy in the confessional says Karen wanted to show off to the two people who have seen through her all these years. I was like, whoa, that's harsh. Where the fuck did that come from?
Yeah, that was a deep cut. Like,
and then she said she wanted to let us know that she's big in this little bitty fish of a town called Surrey. Now,
oh, you're right. She is a bitch.
I'm like, you were invited to this. You could have said no.
Yeah.
Like, fuck off. And I just thought, okay, I get it. I get where Karen's coming from, but Karen was invited and she graciously accepted. She didn't turn around and go, I don't want to go back to that shithole of a – do you know what I mean? Like, have some fucking grace. Because then she says, oh, you know, for the seven people in the town are going to watch. It's like, okay, yes, there are only 220 people in this town. Yeah, I looked it up. So it's like, have some respect.
And Karen was thriving on that Bentley. She was having a great time waving at all her friends, holding the baby.
But I don't think that Karen was being up herself like, yes, I'm king shit in this little town.
No.
I felt that Karen was being gracious to the place that she came from and was being respectful and wasn't pretending to be like, oh, yeah, I have to be here. I'm going to pretend
to love
you all. She
wasn't the grand dame for that episode.
She was not. That's it. She was not the grand dame from this episode. She's like, I came from this town. The town have asked me to come back and I'm going to do it graciously with pride because that's what I have for my town and my people. She wasn't the grand dame. That's exactly right. And I felt like Giselle was being a bit obnoxious and the grand dame.
Oh, she was. She was.
And then Karen in her confessional brings up the itty-bitty fishy march that Giselle did in New Orleans that no one showed up for either. Fucking, and then I looked up and I'm like, New Orleans has a population of 391,000.
Yeah.
Surrey has a population of 220. Not 1,000, 220. And there were way more people on the streets in Surrey than there were in New Orleans
that
day, my friend.
And in New Orleans, everyone hangs out dancing on the streets. So they actively left the streets to avoid Giselle.
I love that. That's exactly what happened.
I did enjoy Giselle when she was like when her and Ashley joined the parade and she was singing, she's like, who needs a Bentley and a periwinkle suit?
Look, I did think that was funny, but I thought, what are the people in Surrey going to think watching those two walking down kind of making a mockery of their parade? That's what I felt.
Yeah.
Like, did I think Giselle was funny? Yes. Did I
periwinkle
think?
Periwinkle suit.
I know, that was funny. But then, I thought if I was from Surrey and I was proud of this parade and the fact that they had cameras coming to film their parade in their very small town, I kind of would have thought that Giselle was like throwing shade to the town and making a mockery. I thought she was being disrespectful. But yes, the periwinkle suit comment was funny. You're right.
Just loved that.
Yeah, that was funny. And then the girls start kind of bitching and Ashley says that she can see how divorces happen. Double ouch.
I know.
Like, Jizzy's rubbing off on Ashley. I don't think Karen will be here for that at all. Anyway, the parade starts and look, it was odd that people were throwing lollies at them.
I know.
What? I don't.
They have some traditions in Surrey that we just do not understand.
I'm just like, don't take fucking candy from strangers. Some dude in a van throwing candy at you. I wouldn't be eating it either. Anyway, there's no one there basically, as Giselle says, and she's got no idea why Karen's in the parade, but that to the town, Karen is probably Beyonce because she made it. And again, Giselle can't even be nice without throwing shade at both Karen and the town of Surrey. I think the people of Surrey are going to watch that episode and feel like Giselle was making fun of them and they're not going to be fucking impressed.
Do you know what we should do? Mm-hmm. When, have they already filmed the reunion?
I don't know.
They always put out the call for like questions from the audience? Yes. We should be like, oh, hi, I'm Samantha from Surrey and I think you were a bitch, Giselle.
Yeah.
Like,
and do you a should, fake one. And you should apologise to the whole town of Surrey because you're not bigger than us. I agree. No, they – okay, so that's basically it. That's pretty much what happens there. Yeah. We don't see any more of the parade. But look, I did notice that there are quite a few people on the street turning out for that. So Giselle can fuck off.
Well, they're in Surrey. What else are they going
to
do?
There's nothing else for them to do. Look, I don't know. I did also Google what else is there to do in Surrey. And there's, because I'm grasping at straws here. There's nothing to do. Surrey is basically farmland and plantations. That's it.
All I Googled was the distance because they were acting like it was such a road trip. And I was like, how fuck off?
It was 2.5 hours away.
That's nothing.
Well, yeah, that is nothing. Fair enough. So next scene, Candace is at animal welfare with her mother.
This fucked me off so fucking hard.
My notes were, please God, don't let that child take home a puppy.
I was so annoyed. Well, I was like, oh my God, yay, puppies. And then I was like, wait a minute. And then I realized what she was doing. Oh. And she was just there for the scene. She had no intention of adopting a puppy.
No, she's there. Everything's for the sympathy vote.
Yes. And I scrolled through her socials. No puppy.
No puppy.
And then I tweeted her and I said, did you adopt Mowgli? And she didn't respond, which fair enough. Like, why are you going to respond to me? But I was also like, why didn't you adopt the fucking puppy?
She walks in. I know, that poor fucking dog. Stupid bitch.
Don't use the puppies
for a backdrop. Yeah.
Oh, that pissed me off.
Yeah,
so
that pissed
much.
Me off. She walks in and says she wants a cockapoo. And I'm like, love, you're going to the fucking RSPCA. You don't get to pick the breed. This is the first sign that you should not be getting a dog. Anyway, eye roll, fake scene. It's all about talking about.
So fucking
actually,
fake.
I did have one thought because we haven't seen her mother since the handbag incident.
Haven't we?
Oh, no, we did. We saw her at the bullshit engagement
she
party.
She gave that speech where she was really drunk.
And I'm like, do you want puppies around you so that your mother doesn't have another reason to attack you? No. Anyway, look, the Chihuahua Mowgli was the star of that scene. You know how I feel about a Chihuahua. I want to know who's adopted Mowgli.
I hope he's been adopted.
I hope so.
I just think she's fucking despicable for using them as a backdrop
100%.
For sympathy. And like, I see through it now. Like, when she first walked in, I was like, oh my God, I love Candace. She's going to go adopt a puppy. And then I was like, Nathan, you're an idiot. She was never going to adopt a puppy.
She was never going to adopt a puppy.
And now I hate her. Now I'm Team Monique again.
Yeah, thank you. So, 100%.
I want to drag her.
I want to drag her. I want the puppy to drag her. I want the puppy to bite her.
Oh, Mowgli should have
dragged her. I want her to get the rabies.
You're going to drag me, Mowgli?
I want her to get the rabies. Oh, my God. What's happened to me? Oh, I need a Bex and a lie down. Candace tells her mum that she's going to therapy as it relates to the incident. I'm like, first of all, your motherfucking knows. And second of all, when we saw her go into the therapy office all those scenes ago, all those episodes ago, wasn't she saying that she was attending therapy to deal with her issues with her mother? So is it because of the incident or is it because of your mum? Which is it? Because if it's just because of the incident, it's only because that she, it's only, listen to me screaming, it's only so that when she sues her, she can sue for emotional damages. Distress mm-hmm. because she's been to a therapist. This is why she went to therapy, for ammunition for suing. Anyway, so she starts talking to her mum about the incident and the dog, Mowgli, gets off her lap. Candace doesn't even turn around to see where the dog is.
She's scum.
The dog could be freaking choking for all she knows. As soon as she gets attention, the dog can fuck off for all she cares. Oh, the dog's not even an afterthought. The dog's a no thought. I'm so angry. Sorry, I'll calm
no,
down.
That's fair enough. She can punch a bitch out, but yeah. As soon as she ignores the dog, fuck, you're like, that's it. Nuts.
You're dead
that's
to it. Us. You're dead to us. I've got you on my side now. I'm so excited. She tells her mum that Monique is not remorseful and that she was kikiing on social media and that that's a slap in the face.
It's like,
what? Because other people have jumped on social media to say, we don't give a fuck that you got punched in the face. So now you're angry at Monique. And her mother says that because Monique doesn't think that there are consequences, i.e. not being booted off the show, so that they now need to call a lawyer.
Yeah.
This is what I thought. And surprise, surprise, she doesn't leave with the dog. And I'm actually glad because I wouldn't trust Candace with an animal. We're back in Surrey and they go to church and Karen cries, fair enough, because the last time she was in town and in the church, she buried her father.
Yeah.
And then I wrote, Giselle pretends to care because in her confessional, she's sort of recalling the fact that recently, Karen's parents have both died. Ray got sued. He took half her money. Now she's having marital problems. She's gone through a lot.
She really has.
When you think about last season, like, you know, you think about the last year that she's had. But then I'm like, 2 seconds ago, you were just dragging a bitch. And now you're saying you care about her. Which is it? I don't think they like each other, but I think they're being fake to their faces.
They're castmates.
But I think that Karen thinks that they've got a truce.
Yes.
And I don't think that Giselle is living up to said truce. And I think once Karen sees the episodes, she's going to be pissed.
Well, Karen has been doing some tweets where she's like responding to fan comments and she's like, it's typical Giselle. And she sort of writes Giselle off as being a messy person. I think she calls Giselle messy.
Yeah. If that was me, at the end of the season, I'd be like, we're not friends no more.
Well, they need to be friends if they want to get next season. Like,
yeah, I guess. Anyway. That's pretty much what happened in that scene. I mean, I don't want to downplay what Karen went through, but
yeah, it was sad.
It was
She's
sad.
Vulnerable.
It was sad, but there's we just nothing else that. To say. So yeah. I'm just going to respectfully move on, Queen Karen. And we're at Monique's house. We haven't seen Monique all episode apart from hearing her through the telephone.
The telephone. You're an old lady.
I am an old lady. We see T'Challa and I literally wrote, yay.
It's like seeing an old friend, isn't it?
It really is. We need more T'Challa.
And I love seeing all the Not For Lazy Mums mugs that they were using because she's got a garage full of them.
She does. Oh, the merch. I want to know what's going on with that.
Yeah, I want a merch update.
I want a merch update, exactly.
And like, I'm thinking, did she postpone this live event, the live podcasting event because of the incident?
Probably. You'd have to.
She probably ended up postponing it, right?
Well,
it was
they
a few
only
weeks
sold
away.
200 tickets.
What a great excuse.
Perfect
Maybe
excuse.
Maybe she's like, I'm going to drag that bitch so I can cancel the whole event.
Exactly. That's probably why she's stressed out. Anyway, and then I said the best thing about this episode is Monique's confessional outfit. She's wearing this blush pink halter dress and she's got these long caramel curls and she is stunning.
She's stunning.
I get shocked every time I see her like that. I'm reminded on how beautiful she is. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so her pastor arrives with his wife for...
His silent wife.
Yes, she was silent, but she looked cute with a hot pink lippy. But anyway, she was silent. And Monique says that her adrenaline has finally subsided. And look, you can tell they've had convos before because he just goes straight into the blacking out and he seems to know a lot more about it because he's just basically monologuing.
Yes.
And he says that it really wasn't about Candace at all and that that was her tipping point, that Monique's always had to protect herself and control everything. She went through childhood bullying. Mm-hmm. And then marrying Chris, it was just her constantly having to prove herself and that she's been in survival mode for a long time. And that kind of hit me. I know that feeling because your anger is just constantly below the surface. So I did relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of got emotional with her. Again, could be because I'm on my menzies, I don't know. I shed a tear.
She won me back.
I felt bad. She said she's tired of being criticized and of being nitpicked and constantly having to prove herself. I know how all of that feels. I'm probably not alone in that. And I got really quiet and just started listening.
I'm just glad she finally said, like, it had nothing to do with Candace and she didn't deserve that.
When she admitted that there was a lot of pressure inside her that it had nothing to do with Candace and then her bottom lip quivered.
Yeah, it was sad.
And you saw it in her eyes she finally realized what she'd done.
And that's all I needed from her. Yes. All I needed was from her to acknowledge violence of it.
I was thinking, I can't wait for all the women to see that scene.
Yeah. Because we didn't see it last week with her talking to the group. She was still super defensive and deflecty.
And as much as we might have made fun of the fact that instead of going to therapy, she was going to see her pastor.
He did a good job.
I was like, dude's got her number.
Dude got her pegged. And he sort of started in being like, it's not your fault kind of language.
Well, he started with her.
Yeah.
That's where he started with. And that is a good therapist. It's not about the incident,
yeah.
Where the hell are you at and how did you get there and what's really going on? And when that bottom lip started quivering, she said about Candace, she didn't deserve that. And you saw the realization go over her. And I have to say, Big Boy only then started speaking and said that he wants to reach out to Chris. And I actually wrote the words. You're going to disagree with me completely.
I don't think I will.
I went, that's a good husband because he waited for her to get to the realization on her own.
I am going to disagree.
You're going to disagree with me.
I was more like, oh, God, forget about White Chris for a minute and just look after your wife.
But he was. He had his hand on her shoulder and it's like at the beginning when she came home and said what she did and he said that looks bad, he is obviously of the opinion, what the fuck did you do?
Yeah.
And this whole time, I don't know what he said to her behind closed doors, but when the pastor was speaking and he was silent, it's because this man is telling you exactly what I wanted to tell you. But I felt like he let her get to the point to realize on her own what she did.
Mm-hmm.
And then he jumped in because he's probably been wanting to call Chris this whole time and go, what the fuck? But he hasn't because this woman's needed to get where she needed to get to on her own.
And now she's there and she's going to get sued. So he's probably not going to be able to have that chat with White Chris.
But it's more the case that he's like this, my wife needed to get to this realization on her own and he didn't get in the way of that. I'm really impressed with Big Boy because if you thought your spouse fucked up that badly and you didn't give him shit for it, that's pretty fucking massive.
All right.
I don't know. We'll see. But in my opinion, I was just like, that's what she needed from her spouse and he did it.
Did you, I don't know if I went crazy, but when I watched it, there was one moment when Monique said, like, I'm not a violent person. And then you hear the psycho, like,
yes, yes.
What was that? I thought I imagined it.
No, I thought I heard it too.
It was like a second of the, like that. But just for like a mini second.
I know, me too. What the fuck?
And I was like, that's shady.
Do you think?
I heard it. You heard it.
I heard something. I just don't know. Okay, we need to go back.
It sounded exactly like the psycho when she opens the shower curtain.
Yes. Yeah, I thought that it was like something that I heard that wasn't there. But you really think it was there?
I really think it was there.
Okay, right. Oh, my God. Anyway, she says she needs to apologize to Candace, and I think that that was 100% sincere. However,
it's not going to happen.
It's too late. It's too late. Because we're at the end of the episode. Next time on Real Housewives of Potomac, Wendy's baby's baptism.
Yeah, boring.
Ray tells Karen the fame and fortune has gone to her head.
Fuck off, Ray.
Ashley talks to someone about Michael's penis. I think, is that her uncle Bunky, whatever his name is?
Yeah, I forgot.
That cool fucking name that he has.
What was that name?
I called him Bunky.
It's close to Bunky.
It's not.
Uncle Buffhead?
Uncle. Stop.
Oh, Budge? No, Uncle.
No, no. Oh, we need to go back to the, is it the first, what episode?
Episode two, the is sip it? And see?
I don't know, man.
Someone went to a sip. It was Uncle Boofhead. I'm pretty sure it's not. Uncle Boofhead.
I'm like Bunky fucking.
Uncle.
Oh, we
Budgie.
Need...
Uncle Budgie Smuggler.
Oh my god, no.
Bunch? Butch.
So.
Funch? No. Uncle Jim, I'm Googling it.
Lump! Uncle Lump! Lump.
Uncle Lump. How did we forget Lump?
Oh my god, what did we call him now?
Uncle Lump.
Uncle Lump. Well, was that? I think she was talking to Uncle Lump. I can't be sure. Should I cut any of that out? I don't know.
Leave it.
And then what? Oh, Wendy gets a Google alert about Monique being charged with second degree assault.
I.e. a producer texter.
Yeah. And then we see that all the women sans Monique are at the baptism, and Robin says, is the goal for her to go to jail? And Candace nonchalantly says, yeah, I want to prosecute this to the fullest extent.
Yeah, I hated that.
Me too.
I just think is all I needed was for Monique to just acknowledge what happened.
Yes.
And her role in what happened.
Yes.
No matter how provoked or not.
Yeah. And she
and
got
once
there.
She did that, I'm like, okay, great.
I really hope that Monique, okay, this is what I want to happen. I want Monique, regardless of Candace's actions and words, I want her to stay on this path of remorse and then just shut up. Say the line of remorse.
Well,
and then just shut
we'll
up.
We'll see if she's able to do
Candace
it.
Because Candace will then, people will turn on her and go, you're being a cunt. Soz.
So probably Monique pulling herself out of a lot of scenes and not going on trips and stuff is probably going to do well for her.
I hope so. Like yeah. I just, even at reunion, I want her to say, I feel I was provoked.
Yeah.
That is no excuse. I did the wrong thing and I am sorry. And then just shut up
and then let
Candace dig her own grave. That's what I want to happen.
Yeah.
And I can't believe I just used the C word, but it's probably not going to be the last time.
I didn't even hear it.
I love that. And that's the end.
Oh, yeah. I'm so excited.
Me too. I really need this to amp up again. This is my saving grace during the week.
I need Portugal.
I need Portugal.
I need Portugal.
Oh, I forgot about Portugal. Yes.
That's what I'm holding on to at the end of a work day. I'm like one step closer to Portugal.
Because we've got nothing. Like Below Deck's finished now. Below Deck Med's finished.
Below Deck Med fizzled out, didn't it?
It did fizzle out. I'm looking forward. I thought I was looking forward to the reunion, but I'm like, what's there left to do?
I just want Hannah to confront Malia.
Well, Hannah's not going to be on the reunion, is she?
She might be.
You reckon?
Yeah.
And what else do we have to look forward to besides the Salt Lake City?
That's it. Oh, and OC.
OC in quarantine, really?
I don't think I've actually never watched OC.
The beginning of OC, like the first few seasons, were good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go back.
They were like new money, trailer trash, crazy.
Love it.
They were good.
Love it.
They were good. Yeah. I mean, the faces changed. Same people. Change of faces.
Great.
You'd get back after end of season and you'd be like, bitch, got work done. This is great. It was so
they
good.
Do love that.
They do love
especially
that.
Especially after the first season. Like, Leah's just had work done.
No.
Yes, she got a nose job, I think.
What?
Uh-huh.
She got a nose job.
Yep.
That's what she decided to get.
What did you think she should get?
I saw those tartars.
Oh, no, she didn't do the tartars.
She had pendulous tartars for a skinny girl.
Oh, okay.
Pendulous. You didn't notice them?
I just did a ray. Oh, okay.
You didn't notice in the pool?
No, I didn't.
With a pendulous bosom?
I wasn't looking at them.
And then I think one of the girls, I think it was Ramona probably, told her she should get her boobs done.
Ramona was off Leah that night. Leah put up a photo of her.
Leah got a nose job? Why? Her nose is beautiful. Fuck.
Well, it might have been something else, but I'm pretty sure it's a nose. Let me just. Aww. Leah McSweeney.
Sonia got her jowls done.
Oh, Sonia looks so much better.
She looks fantastic.
In the reunion and the late confessionals.
Because she got her jowls done.
She went
amazing.
To that resort and just.
Yeah, she didn't.
Flushed everything out of her body.
She didn't sit there and fucking juice. No,
oh, no, she got shit done.
Yeah.
But she also.
Well, that's why she went to the resort. She didn't need people to see her stitches and stuff. That would be so much fun, going and getting surgery. And instead of having to come home and make your own cup of soup, you go to a.
That's the way to do it.
That's the way to do it. Fuck, man, rich people got a good.
Oh.
I'm such a poor person with a single oven. Actually, you know the funny thing is I have a grill under my oven and it actually works as an oven, but it's grill size. Does that mean I have a double oven?
No.
No,
it doesn't.
All right. I'm gonna go have my cup of soup and then
I'm gonna go not get a nose job.
Yeah.
All right,
bye.